Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on the show, Steve. It should be a good one.
Thanks for having me, Steven.
Double X, anytime, man.
Christopher Mad Dog Russo here. You are listening to Steven Strom on TalkNorth.com.
Always passionate, always fiery. You're listening to the Strom Sports Show. Take it away, Steven.
Football is back. Welcome into the Strom Sports Show, episode 163 on the great TalkNorth.com on this 10th day of September. College football flexed its muscles last week, and it's time for the NFL to flex theirs. I am so, so excited. It finally feels like we know we had basketball, we had hockey, we had football last year, but the fans mean everything. The fact that we have them back, the Virginia Tech game, I mean, it's just 20 times better than a crowd that's not there. Like, it just makes everything as far as college football. We're going to get that now with the NFL. I am so, so excited about this weekend. We have Jay Morrison from The Athletic. He's been covering the Bengals since 2012. We will preview the Bengals-Vikings game in 2 days here. It is great to have you. And we also will do NFL future bets. We will do my Steve's three NFL guarantees. A lot of great stuff today that we are going to do, but we begin on a little bit of a somber note. I wanted to mention 9/11, which happened 20 years tomorrow. 20 years ago tomorrow, I lived in New Jersey my entire life. This is near and dear to me. I want to remember those who passed away on this tragic day. I want to tip my cap to all of the first responders that didn't hesitate to climb those stairs, to run into smoke, to carry people out. They couldn't have been any more selfless. So I just wanted to start there and just tip my cap, remember everyone that passed away in that tragic day. And I have a little bit of a stat. Just I wanted to at least give something, maybe if someone didn't know, of the 2,977 victims killed in the September 11th attacks, 412 were emergency workers in New York City who responded to the World Trade Center. This included 343 firefighters, 37 police officers, 23 police officers of the New York City Police Department, 8 emergency medical technicians, 3 New York State court officials, and 1 patrolman from the New York Fire Patrol. If you want to make a difference, I went to Drew Barrymore a couple of weeks ago, and they had a dude named Paul Leon. He has created his own website. It's called paulyspush.com. So if you're looking to donate, if you're looking to just kind of make a difference and read about it, whatever you want to do, paulyspush.com. He does an incredible job. He's honoring the flight attendants who were on that plane and kept calm and did everything that they could possibly do. So that's something to look up as well if you are looking to sort of get involved in remembrance and honoring, whatever that may be. There's no easy way to transition from that, but we're going to try our best as we turn the page to a positive, and that is football season, as I mentioned before. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to get into my three best future bets for the NFL season, and then we'll transition into the three NFL guarantees, Jay Morrison. That's how it goes. But first of all, the Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code Strom at manscaped.com. Okay, so did a lot of research on these. I wanted to be sharp. I wanted, and you know, I always say this about when I tell you these bets, I put them in myself. I'm not going to BS you. I'm not going to come on here, tell you to take something, and I'm not taking it. So I have three future bets for you. Here they are. We're going to go season totals, season win totals. First one, we're going to go under 11 for the Baltimore Ravens. They've got the second hardest schedule in the league. J.K. Dobbins is officially out for the year, tore his ACL a couple weeks ago. Lamar Jackson is a liability, not only on the field in terms of his arm, and I've been saying that, but also he is not vaccinated. So he is now a liability off the field. And that division is really tough. Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati's going to be better. Baltimore has a stretch of games that is extremely difficult. I think 11 wins is too high. John Harbaugh has done an incredible job there, but I just think this number is a little bit high for them. I like them at 9 or 10 wins. Give me the under for the Baltimore Ravens. The next one, the Arizona Cardinals, under 8.5. Look, this is a brutal, brutal schedule. You know I'm a huge Kyler Murray guy. It's a brutal, brutal division to play in as well. You've got the San Francisco 49ers, the Seattle Seahawks, and the Los Angeles Rams. That is a tricky, tricky schedule. You get them twice. That's six games right there. They also have to go to Cleveland, play the Browns. They have to play the Packers at Tennessee, home against the Vikes, Colts. They play the NFC North and the AFC South. I have them at 8 wins on the dot. If that's too tight for you, I understand. I like the Cardinals to go under 8.5. It's a huge year for Cliff Kingsbury as well. Again, I love Kyler. I love this team. I just think 8.5 is a little bit high for them. I'm going to go under. The last team, and these are all unders that I did, Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a bad team. Under 6.5 to me. First of all, I think 6 is way, way too high. I think there's a better chance Detroit is better than Jacksonville. The only reason why you probably have this number is because they're in the same division as Houston. But this is a bad team. This is a bad offensive line, rookie quarterback, rookie coach, whether you like to say that or not. And Urban Meyer's been around the block. But no wide receiver depth. They go through a stretch where they might not win a game for a month and a half. They've got the Titans, the Dolphins, the Seahawks, the Bills, the Colts, the 49ers. What game do you have them, I guess, winning? Out of those games right there, I just don't see it. I like under 6.5. I think there's just can you see the Jags going 7-10? I mean, is there a way that you can see that? If you can, God bless you. I like the unders here. Give me in totality Ravens under 11, Cardinals under 8.5, and Jags under 6.5. Those are my best three future bets for the NFL season. You know I have imaging for the next segment. You know I do. Strom's three NFL guarantees. Here we go.
It's time for Steve's three NFL guarantees.
I'm the first to admit that my college football days, they're over. Went through a really rough stretch the last couple of years with college football, but the NFL has been a lot more kinder to me. Have a lot better feel as far as gambling for the NFL. We are going to save the overall picks and records just like we did last year, just like we did the year before that. We finished over 500 last year, which means we netted in the positive. So we are going to do the same thing this year and really take the next step. First game on my list, under 44 total points, Patriots Dolphins. Two younger quarterbacks, both have great defenses. Belichick has a chip on his shoulder. The Dolphins, they need to figure out, is Tua the guy or not? I've heard he's practiced really well, but these are still, overall, two really good defenses, and that's their identities. The first game of the year, it's a boring pick, I get it, but this is my favorite bet of the week. Under 44, can you see them scoring 21 points each? That's 42, and then a field goal. I would lose off that, but I just can't see both of these teams scoring three touchdowns in this game. I think it's going to run the ball. Clock's going to be moving. A lot of defense. Give me under 44. Pats, Dolphins. Next pick. This could be a sucker pick. I'm first to admit that. Steelers plus 6.5 at Buffalo. I don't know. You know, there's certain lines that just seem fishy. And what I like to do before looking at the spreads is do my own spread. So when this game appeared, I thought, okay, probably Bills by what, 4? When I saw 6.5, I'm like, that's way too big of a number. Bills had a great year last year. Steelers, insanely disappointing after starting off like 11-0. I still like first game of the year. I like Pittsburgh to cover this. I don't think they win. 6.5 is way too much for me. Give me Mike Tomlin, Big Ben, and this wide receiving core that's going to be really freaking good. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster. That's going to be a really good and fun wide receiver core. Can Mike Tomlin sort of weather the storm and the tick-tocking and all the stuff that goes off the field that drives you nuts, I bet, as a Steeler fan? I think they do here in week one. Give me the Steelers plus 6.5. Last one, another boring pick, but these numbers are way too high for me. The game totals are way too high for me. 44, under 44 for the Jags-Texans. Again, these are just two bad teams. Trevor Lawrence's first game. Tyrod Taylor is starting for the Texans. This has like 10-3 written all over it at halftime. Unless the defenses are just brutal and, you know, Trevor Lawrence has an amazing game. But even then, so I just don't see Tyrod Taylor with, can we name a couple of weapons if I'd ask you, name a couple wide receivers for Houston. Can you do them right now? Can you do them for Jacksonville? You know, Shenault, Marvin Jones? I don't know. I think under 44 is another lock here. These are my picks. Steve's three NFL guarantees. Again, under 44, Pats Dolphins. Steelers plus 6.5. Under 44, Jags Texans. Jay Morrison, Bengals, Vikings, Burrow, Cousins, Zimmer's back in Cincy. Everything you need to know for that game coming up next year on the Strom Sports Show. Before we get to Jay Morrison, I was just talking about gambling. You got spreads, you got totals. Here's the thing. I could win, I could lose. You can win money one week, you can lose money the next. You know what I can't lose with? Manscaped. So attention, gamblers of all shapes and sizes, our friends at Manscaped have a can't-miss bet for you today. Please sign me up. I'm trying to win this week. I'm trying to win every week. Manscaped has you covered. The leaders in male grooming just launched their fourth-generation performance package. The betting odds are in your favor when you use the Lawnmower 4.0 downstairs. They sent me a lawnmower and a weed whacker. Across the board, this is the package to get you in the mood for whatever your gambling heart desires. Ready to take the leap to male grooming royalty? 2 million men already have. Join the Manscaped movement by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM, STROM. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM, STROM at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM, STROM at manscaped.com. All right, Jay Morrison is with us now. He is going to help us preview Sunday's opener, Vikings-Bengals. He's been a beat writer for the Bengals since 2012. Does a really great job for The Athletic. Jay Steven Strom here. How are you doing? I'm sure you are excited to get this season kicked off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get through the silly season of the free agency and the draft and all that, and then it's training camp is a grind, and the season's a grind too, but it's a fun grind. I think everybody that covers the league is really looking forward to getting this thing kicked off.
And this one's an interesting matchup. You have two teams that are sort of in need of a bounce back season. Let's start here. I want to start on the offseason with the Cincinnati Bengals, because I think these teams have a little bit more in common than people think, including the offensive line. And that's where I'm going to go with this first question. Were you surprised that Cincinnati went with Ja'Marr Chase instead of going with Penei Sewell to protect Burrow, who's coming off the ACL? What was your reaction to that first pick, and did you agree with it?
I did agree with it, but I went back and forth, like I think a lot of people did, throughout the course of the offseason. As it got closer, really shortly after we left the Senior Bowl, you started hearing from people inside the organization that they were locked in on Chase, that was going to be their pick. That's how Zach wants this offense to be, with all the threats out wide. They figured Joe Burrow's processing ability and the quick short passing game kind of helps the offensive line. I don't know if I agree with that entirely. There's going to be plays that break down. We saw last year, they tried to use a quick passing game and they subjected him to a number of hits, the ultimate one, which ended up ending his season. But I mean, from all accounts, you know, Penei Sewell is struggling just as bad up in Detroit as Ja'Marr Chase here is in Cincinnati. I don't think they could have gone wrong with the pick, but I agreed. I feel like Ja'Marr Chase was that missing piece, that the big hole in Joe Burrow's game last year was the deep ball. And I do think T. Higgins is going to help that quite a bit this year, but I think getting Ja'Marr Chase is really going to get them over the hump there and get him some more explosive plays.
Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, that is a very, very underrated top three wide receivers right there for Joe Burrow. And I wanted to get into Joe Burrow right now. First of all, it's so funny that people are like shocked when someone like a quarterback comes out and says, I'm having some issues sticking in the pocket after an ACL. I mean, so would I, if I stored my ACL and I got to get back in here and I've got guys coming at me at low, high, the defense. How is that process going for him? Is he doing, you know, is he open about being a little bit better and more comfortable in the pocket after this injury?
Yeah, he's really turned the corner since that press conference when he came out and said that. It was that day that this was Joe's idea to have coaches run around him, not in 11s, but on 7-on-7, have coaches standing in the backfield with him, cutting in front of him before he threw the ball, running at him from the side, getting traffic around his knees just to kind of get that in his head of having traffic around him. And you did. You really saw it kind of take off from there. It was refreshing to hear, you know, an athlete be honest about that. And, you know, a lot of times you're like, oh, we got plenty of time. It'll get better. It'll get better. But Joe was really honest about it being a mental and a confidence issue, which was really surprising to hear, because I mean, that guy just exudes confidence. But it wasn't a confidence in his ability, it was a confidence in the repaired knee. And you just kind of saw this offense really start to click after that moment. And you didn't quite see it in the preseason games, but I mean, Burrow only played 3 snaps in that final game. I think this offense is going to be fine. I think we're going to see what we saw last year, where there was no preseason, and it did take a few games for Joe Burrow to kind of get up to where a Joe Burrow level. So maybe that's good news for the Vikings, but I think all those issues, confidence issues with the knee, the mental thing, that's all behind him now.
Jay Morrison with us now, Bengals beat writer for The Athletic. What's been the most impressive thing about Burrow? Is it a physical tool or a leadership tool? What has stuck out to you where you're like, wow, he probably shouldn't be like this at this age already?
Yeah, that's it. It's his command of the offense, of the huddle, of the entire organization. I mean, you draft a guy number one overall, you expect him to be the face of the franchise. Some teams, you see that take a while to take root. It wasn't like that with Joe Burrow. I mean, his teammates named him a captain last year as a rookie. I don't think the Bengals have ever had a rookie captain before. Guys were just veterans last year. This was an older team last year, and guys that had been here well back into the Marvin Lewis era were just raving about his confidence and his command and just the way he worked the locker room. And I think that's really impressive for a young guy to kind of come in and just seize control like that right away. And, you know, it's going to pay off. You're starting to see his personality rub off on some other guys. And I think that's what Bengal fans should be most excited about, because this is a young team full of a lot of brash, confident guys like Joe Burrow. And if they get off to a quick start this year, you could see this thing really clicking. And everyone points to next year being the year the playoff window opens. I wouldn't rule it out this year. I wouldn't predict it. I wouldn't bet money on it. But you could see with the way this schedule lines up that they could get off to a hot start and things could just really take off.
Yeah, I was listening to your podcast. Also, I'm pretty cool with Chad Graff. You know, you guys were talking about this team might be the most this could be a great year. This could be a bad year. There's so many outcomes for this Cincinnati Bengals team. So it is a very interesting team to follow. Let's go on the other side of things. What's your sort of thought coming into this year about the Minnesota Vikings? We'll get into some of the matchups and storylines for this game, but just an overall thought on Minnesota going into this year.
Yeah, it seems like forever ago that Mike Zimmer was here in Cincinnati, but it also seems like yesterday, because that guy doesn't change. I mean, he is who he is, and you know it's going to be rooted in the run game and defense. And I think that you look, I talked earlier about how favorable this early schedule was. This may have been one of the worst draws they could have got for an opener, because, you know, Mike Zimmer is going to just throw the sink. I mean, I remember a game where he was here in Cincinnati and he came up with a scheme. He snapped Tom Brady's consecutive games with a touchdown streak, and he beat Aaron Rodgers. And he just has a way of figuring out the other team's offense and shutting down that quarterback, no matter who he is. And he's got all these, you know, unique blitz schemes, and this offensive line, this Bengals offensive line is better, but that Vikings defense is something else. And I think that should worry Bengal fans that the last thing they want to see is Joe Burrow taking a lot of hits on Sunday. And then the real interesting piece, I think, is Dalvin Cook. The Bengals run defense has been so bad for a number of years, and it feels like that's going to turn a corner this year. They're much better on the D-line. They've got a rising star.
Very active in free agency, Cincinnati was.
Yeah, the last 2 years. Totally went against their – they never spend in free agency. And then the last two off seasons have been their richest free agent spending in history. And a lot of it's been focused on the defense. The problem with that is they are super thin. Really, this whole roster is pretty thin. The offensive line is scarily thin. But that the defense – it's much better than it was last year. And the one thing that they really focused on was the pass rush, because they were last in the league in pressures. I think they're next to last in sacks. And their defensive ends, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson, they got from the New Orleans Saints. Yes, they can rush the passer, but they are really good at setting the edge. And then you got Larry Ogunjobi. DJ Reader is a great run stopper. I just think this team is going to be a lot better against the run this year. And they get that huge test right out of the gate with Dalvin Cook. And the interesting storyline there too, and maybe some people have forgotten this, we mentioned it on the podcast, is, you know, the Bengals had that 41 pick in 2017 and they traded back to Minnesota. Minnesota takes Dalvin Cook. The Bengals take Joe Mixon. Very easily could have been flipped there. Would be interesting to see what those guys' careers look like if they ended up in those other franchises. But there's, it's weird that you never see those two compared because of that, just because they're in the opposite conference. They only play once every 4 years. But I think Vikings fans are pretty happy with Dalvin Cook. Yeah. And I feel Bengal fans are pretty happy with Joe Mixon. The reason that he slid that far was the issues that, you know, that horrible incident he had at Oklahoma. He has totally put that behind him. He's been a model citizen, a model teammate. He got voted a captain this year. Says a lot about his growth.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Couple more left with Jay Morrison. Really good spot with him. And as far as the depth goes, this, I'm telling you, the more we talk, the more I'm like, wow, these two teams are very similar, because the Vikings are very similar in depth position as well. I mean, the preseason was a nightmare for this team. They are very top heavy as far as financials go. And that's why you don't have a lot of depth at that offensive line position, that secondary position. So it's going to be an interesting matchup. Let's do Zach Taylor, because you tweeted out something pretty interesting on a quote that he put out there. I don't know what it reaped. It sounded like this is it for him. Like he needs everyone here to stay alive. He's 6-25 overall. What's his, seat right now? How hot is it going into this year?
I think it's warming up. I don't know that it's hot yet. It will get hot in a hurry if they don't get off to a good start. Doesn't have to be a great start, but he can't go 1-5, 2-5 like he has the last couple years. Mike Brown's not quick to make changes, but they're expecting so much more this year, and the schedule suggests that they should do better out of the gate. So I could see if it gets off to a really bad start, them making a change. But outside of that, I think, you know, there has to be improvement. I mean, it was 4 wins last year, 2 years the year before. I think
there probably needs to be a big jump,
at least 6 or 7 to keep it. 'Cause again, Mike Brown, the last thing you want to do is blow this thing up. And yeah, maybe you can go get a higher quality coach this time around, a guy that has experience, unlike last year when they go and get Zach Taylor, who had never even been a coordinator before. I mean, you've got that Joe Burrow piece. There's a lot of people that would be interested in coaching this team, but you know, I the relationship he has with Joe and really all the players, we saw it last year when this thing kind of went south, and all the veterans, Joe Bernard, who's gone now, but Tyler Boyd, Joe Burrow, everybody was staunchly in Zach Burrow's corner. And you can tell a lot of times when it's lip service. This wasn't. They truly believe in this guy. He's an impressive guy to talk to. He's super smart. It's just a question of can he coach. They've lost so many close games. They're 4-8 in games they've led at halftime. I think that's where he's really got to turn the corner and figure out how to finish these games and win these close games. Because as bad as it's been, it's not like they've been getting the doors blown off in these games. They've been in position to win them. Sometimes the head coach is the big difference in that. So that's going to be a big test for him this year.
What are some things defensively you expect Lou Anarumo to do to Kirk Cousins in this offense?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think he hasn't blitzed a lot, but they're so much more versatile this year. The D-line was so thin last year. There was a point week 5, week 6, where every guy that started on the D-line wasn't on the roster at the start of the season. They just had injuries that just decimated them. It's not just getting everybody back healthy, but the pieces they put in place allow them to be more versatile. They got Sam Hubbard as a DN who can move inside to tackle and kind of push the pocket from inside. Jesse Bates might be the best safety in the league. He's trying to get paid like it. That's still an issue right now. But he's talked about he's going to get to play more man coverage this year. Lou finally has pieces in place where he can kind of be creative. And so I think it's a big question mark right now how he's going to do that. I do think we're going to see a lot of 5-man fronts. This is technically a 4-3 defense, but we've seen them do this a lot where they'll stand up the DNs and then put in 3 big run pluggers in the middle. And with the threat that Dalvin Cook is, I think we'll see that early. Then if they can stop the run, I think they'll start throwing some blitzes. They signed Mike Hilton in free agency, the best blitzing corner in the league. I don't think they're going to let that go to waste. And we saw that in training camp. There was a couple plays where Joe Burrow might have died if it was live contact, because he's got this knack for timing, and he came as a free runner many times. So it's kind of a question mark right now, just because it's the same coordinator. It's a lot of the same players, but it feels like it's going to have kind of this new wrinkle to it with all the pieces he has that he can move around.
lot of questions on Sunday, a lot of answers we're going to get on Sunday. Jay, I really appreciate it. Really great job by you. At Jay Morrison, ATH on Twitter, Athletic. Thank you again for carving out some time for me to ask for 10 minutes. You gave me 15. Enjoy the game, enjoy the season, and keep up the great work.
All right, will do. Thanks for having me, Steven.
Yep. All right, Jay Morrison, everyone. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Oh, football is back. It feels so damn good. So good. Gophers play Ohio tomorrow, Miami of Ohio. Vikings, Bengals, Sunday. Let's get a W. Let's get two Ws. Let's go 2-0 going into Monday. Certainly with the Gophers, a better win on Saturday. And I'm expecting a victory for the Vikes on Sunday against the Bengals. Let's go 2-0 headed into our Monday. Have a fantastic rest of your day and weekend. Strom Sports Show is brought to you by Manscaped. 20% off plus free shipping with the code STROM. Make sure to check out all the other shows on TalkNorth.com. And I'll talk to you next Friday here on the Strom Sports Show.